Lord, a majestic and almighty King, open my lips to speak your truth and our ears to receive your word. Lord, help us to bow before you and learn more about your awesome and almighty kingship. Amen. What do we talk about when we think about being majestic? Perhaps we think of the Queen turning up in a nice big golden carriage to open Parliament. All the fine robes and splendour. Perhaps we think of a particularly good cinema film we've seen. Or we might say that an actor had a majestic performance. Or a football player, perhaps not England in the World Cup, but some other time, a footballer was majestic. I asked the arbiter of all knowledge, Google, about majestic. And it came back talking about fine wines and showers. But all these things sell the idea of majesty a little bit too short. When our psalmist today says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, we're looking at a majesty higher than football, we're looking at a majesty higher than the best wines, we're even looking at a majesty greater than our Queen herself. We're looking at the majesty of the one true almighty God. And today we're going to look at this psalm and see what the praise that this psalmist gives to God can show us about God's own majesty. Firstly, we will see that the glory of God has been set above the heavens. If you think about the attributes of a king, you know, being majestic is being kingly, being like a king, being a king. You might think of authority, of power, of influence maybe. When we see this, we see that God has got the authority and the power to set his glory not only above the heavens, we have angels right now praising the Lord, but also from the mouth of babes and infants. We have a God who is praised from the highest to the lowest. From the creation that sings his praises to the children that have not yet learnt to. We have a God who has such glory, such power, that every single thing can reverberate his praise. That he doesn't have to, if you like, seek glory from us humans, because actually he has established it. He has already set it up. His authority and his power are almighty. The Lord, our Lord, the God, our Lord, is majestic in that he has the power to set his authority high above the heavens and from the very youngest children. And the psalmist then goes on to look at the creation itself. I don't know if any of you have been to St. Paul's Cathedral. When you walk down the middle, you'll find there's kind of a circular thing in about the area I'm standing now in St. Paul's. And it's a memorial to Christopher Wren. And it says, reader, if you seek his memorial, look around you. Now that is a type of God that we have got. If you want to know about the work of Christopher Wren, you look at the fine columns. You look at the magnificent dome. You look at the polished floor. If you want to know about our Lord, the creator of the universe, we can look around in majesty and awe at what he does, what he has made, what he has created. This is verse 3. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Our God is so awesome that he has created everything we have ever seen. We think about the furthest most stars that, when it's not this cloudy, we can see twinkling in the distance. We think of the wonders of the planets, the way that all nature works together. And we look at the God that created that. If the creation is quite frankly awe-inspiring, what about the creator? If the creation is, quite honestly, a bit mind-boggling, what about the one who created it? He is glorious. He's got an eye for detail. He is majestic in his power. He is, He is so majestic that we still don't know quite know how everything works. We look at how far away the moon is. We think of how distant some of those stars are. The moon's our closest neighbour. It was only 40 years ago we managed to land on it. We look at how big the universe is, how big the night sky is, how much we can see, how much we don't yet know. And sometimes we can feel mightily small. I don't know about you, but I certainly feel slightly insignificant when you think of how long things have been going for. When you think of how many people have trod before us and how many people will tread after us. When you think of the width of the skies and the glories of the sunrise, we can sometimes feel a little bit small. And the psalmist seems to have this in mind. He goes on, "What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him?" That's the question. The king who created all of this, who has spread stars as far as we can see, who weighed the waters out in his hands, who set the mountains in place, why should he care for us? But we know he does. There was a great story a few years back about the Queen. He went and had tea with, in inverted brackets, a normal person. Now, I'm sure a heavily security checked, very well vetted normal person. But it was a news story that the Queen, the ruler of the country, had decided to spend half an hour drinking tea with one of her subjects. Now, if that's a newsworthy story, then how much more newsworthy is it that the King, who created everything, who rules everything, is so closely in caring for us? We are told that not one sparrow falls from the sky without our Father knowing about it. And we're also reassuringly told that we are worth more than many sparrows, and that every hair on our head is numbered. The Almighty God is also the all-caring God. He cares for us and loves us. He's not only majestic because of his creation. He's not only majestic because of his creative powers. He's majestic. He is kingly because he cares enough for us that he came down and he died on a cross for us. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. He cares enough, and we are enough, that he died for us. By his grace, he decided to come and give his life in place of ours. And not only is God majestic in his creation, not only is he majestic in how he cares for us, there's more. The psalmist, there always seems to be more with God. They have crowned him with glory and honour, given him dominion over the works of your hands. The Lord, our God, the Creator Lord, the one who creates, the one who sustains, the one who cares, is also the one who will crown us and give glory and honour. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at the world around us. 14 million people affected by floods in Pakistan. At least several dozen, probably more, killed in mudslides overnight in China. I wonder how all is placed under the feet of man. With death and famine and pestilence and war in this world, how we can claim to have been given dominion over the works of our God. But these aren't new worries. The psalmist would have been equally at home, if not more so, with all that's wrong of the world. But this is a psalm of faith. This isn't an idealistic fantasy. This is reality, even if one we do not see fully recognised now. There are two ways that we have been given dominion, and that man has been crowned with glory and honour. The first one is in Christ himself. The writer of the Hebrews, having quoted part of this passage, says, "Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honour because of his suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Christ Jesus is reigning on high right now. We don't always see it, but one day we will. These verses are a reality in Christ right this second. And one day, when Christ comes again, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess him as Lord to the glory of God the Father, we will also reign with him. So this passage about us having dominion, about being crowned with glory and honour, points right this second to Christ. We can have assurance that what he has done for us means that he is Lord of heaven. But that also it points to our future, for all those who love him, that one day we will be reigning with him. And this is it. The Bible often tells us the way things truly are, even if they sometimes don't see it. In Revelation, we see the multitude praising God, even though at the time we might see people being persecuted. What we have here is a song of faith in a God that can be trusted. Our Lord is majestic. And the psalm finishes with that cry. O Lord, notice the capital. This is the name of God himself, Yahweh. Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our Lord is majestic in his creation. He has shown his power and his splendor and his glory by everything he has made. He is majestic by the way he cares for us. The king who has authority is the king who went to the cross. And he will crown us one day with glory and honour. The Lord is our Lord, and he is majestic. So we can go out knowing that when things feel bad, when it may not seem that God is in power, that first of all, he is on his throne and he cannot be shifted. Our Lord is majestic. Our Lord is kingly in all the earth. However bad we feel, however bad things may be going around us, that actually, he is still God, he is still king, and he still cares for us. If we ever feel like the psalmist and want to say, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you are care for him? Why do you care for us humans? We know that he does. We can turn to the psalm and we can say, actually, in faith, the Lord, the creator of all, is our Lord and he cares for us. And we can go on, bit by bit, day by day, knowing that our God reigns in heaven. I think there's also a challenge in the glory of our Lord. The creation, the care, the crowning of glory and honour, all that he's done in redeeming us through the cross, doesn't just call for us to put our eyes up in adoration, but our knees down in reverence. If God is God, and if he is our Lord, then we have to treat him as such. He is glorious. He reigns on high. And he is a God who is worth trusting, worth submitting to, because he is the majestic force. He is the king of all. And one day, all the world will see him as the king he is. Amen.